entire Rick Emerson radio program, about 3 hours and 6 minutes away from Tom Likas, broadcasting live at Barracuda, downtown Portland, Oregon. Let's see, we've got this. Rick, pleased to be telling Sarah that upon my last visit, Barracuda had some fantastic nachos that go a long way towards soaking up gallons and gallons of liver-destroying liquids. There you go. Fantastic. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Rick, pleased to be telling you, I am ready for the Likas listener party. I parked my truck at home. I took the Max. I put new batteries in the digital camera, and I have a 20 set aside for the taxi ride home. I am planning on being hungover in Portland. P.S. Please tell my kids I love them.
Well, the best part about this is it's Friday. Usually these are in the middle of the week.
Well, that's the thing is, and you know, and our deal is, and this is just because we're relentless whores about it, and we always like to come in the day after. That's the irony about our show, by the way, is that we always put our listener events on a Thursday. And we do that because I want to be able to come in the next day while it's still fresh in everybody's sort of rotted minds, to come in and recap it. But that, of course, is always the day that we're the least equipped to do it, because we come in here and Sarah's always just obliterated and just wishing she was dead. Tim has no voice and reeks like an ashtray. Mm-hmm. My throat is always just filled with ashes and just decimated. And everybody is calling in all from work, cursing us. Everybody's all wishing that they, wishing that they were dead. Today, though, is perfect, though, because it's a Friday. So you go there, you blow it out, and then you sleep it off tomorrow. Let's see. We have this email very quickly here that we got from our good friend Aaron. Oh, is my computer down? Damn.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Rick, I am already drinking so that I will be properly prepped for the Likas event. I thought he was...
Oh, he's back from the honeymoon then.
Yeah, but I thought he was at work
today. The honeymoon
today.
Is over.
And Aaron is drunk again.
Honeymoon is over and I'm drunk. Yeah. I was to understand that he was at work today. Well, maybe I shouldn't be reading this. Well, not because I... Here's the thing. Because he got back on Halloween. He got back from his honeymoon on Tuesday. And then he emailed me on Wednesday, and he's like, hey, I'm enjoying my last day of, no work, whatever, listening to the show today. So it was my understanding that he was at work today, where maybe things are a little liberal. Maybe he works at a place not unlike CBS Radio, where you can just drink openly in the hallways and hang your brassiere from a ceiling fan. Anyway, he says, I am already drinking so that I will be properly prepped for the Likas event. And then he signs, I've only been married for a little over a week. What could possibly go wrong? Good times. Well, find out tonight, my friends. Tom Likas, live at Barracuda. Ladies and gentlemen, please make way for your personal savior. At the Ministry of Truth, it is Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A house in a very nice neighborhood. This is Bethany in Washington County, surrounded by crime scene tape today. As deputies investigate what is described as a triple homicide. That means three dead people. Police blocked off the area, the home under investigation. Three people whose ages and identities have not yet been released all had gunshot wounds. Neighbors are very concerned, of course. They don't like a lot of noise. Bethany.
I don't even know where Bethany is.
It's kind of like in my area, but it's past the 26th.
That's by Beaverton. It's Beaverton. It's like by exit. It's like by exit 69A and 69B.
It's the Cornell Road exit. And if you go right, you go into the Bethany area.
Just so everybody can go by and interfere with an ongoing police investigation. Let's tell everybody exactly how to get there. But yeah, I kind of know what you're talking about. And there's a big strip mall there. Although I guess they could reasonably describe anywhere in that.
They're really nice homes, though. They said around 600,000.
Well, they're not used to crime in nice places.
No.
How are they going to deal? This is the... You know what? Can I just tell you this? Here's the difference between...
This is the corner of Northwest Bethany and Northwest Telshire Terrace near the Sunset Highway, in case you want to drop
by. Go by and gawk, won't you, please? Because traffic just isn't bad enough because it's raining. And apparently it's not just raining. It is actually blowing outside. I can't see the window from here.
Have one.
We're kind of in a habit trail.
It looks like the tree outside's going to blow over.
Maybe we have a tree house?
What?
I thought you said the treehouse is going to blow over.
Oh, the tree outside?
No, that wouldn't make any sense.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. The tree outside is moving around, and the clown doll has vanished from across the bedroom. That wind, I drove this morning, so it's like I didn't bicycle in. I
rode the bus. Boy, was that a treat.
Well, how are you getting home? Or Nate?
Or you.
Okay.
Or maybe a stranger.
or many, anyone with a vehicle.
Or many, any number of new friends.
Well, actually, I'm going to Lycus, and I'm going to a bar opening with Jen Lane.
It's going to be best night ever for you. Yeah, I'm going to call you like 7 a.m. tomorrow. How are you doing?
I don't have a modeling thing tomorrow, too. So I'm going to bed early. I'm going to do this, and then the opening, and then go to bed.
Going to be duct taping your face back to get rid of the bags. Yeah. Rick, you smell my bagel the same as Wenatchee banana. Just wondering. Todd, no. Did you eat the bagel? You did, though. You ate it.
No, I didn't.
Oh, no, you will. You will.
It's pretty gross.
You will. Let's see. Oh, and Rick, this email clarifies. This is from Aaron. I am at work, by the way. And drinking, apparently. Anywho. So, but this is the difference. You were just talking about this triple murder out in the Bethany, the suburban area. Mm. See, the difference is that's the kind of neighborhood where, like, the schools and the houses, they send, like, grief counselors. And if you need someone to talk to, if you need to share your emotions about this terrible event, please to be calling. And then there's, like,
They'll send additional gardeners to clean things up.
Yeah, and then there'll be a fence covered with teddy bears or whatever, which is where, it's like where Sarah lives. It's like a guy just comes along, like some guy named Snuffy just comes along and sweeps up the bullet casings. Yeah, then they power walk the sidewalk.
That's why I didn't answer the door on trick-or-treating night, because all the homeless people that are hanging outside of my house.
On wheels.
Well, you just heard that story we were reading about.
Exactly.
It. 67-year-old man. Yep. Hello, trigger. Right in the face. That's what they're going to do. Just come and power wash the blood into the drain, and then somebody else moves in.
Well,
and then Tim rents the house out to somebody new.
Tim, are you a hider? Did you give out Halloween candy, or did you turn off your porch light and pretend you weren't home?
I'm not saying. I believe my neighbor had Halloween.
Now, what do you mean you're not saying? That sounds suspicious.
Well, I had...
I was in the basement stitching clothing out of human skin. Right?
I had a partial Halloween with the candy that I had on hand.
Okay. You know, I know somebody here in the building who bought $70 worth of Halloween candy.
And ate it all themselves.
Now, I had not one trick-or-treater. Not one. Zero. Mm-hmm. And it's somebody we know. I guess I can say what it is. It's in the air. It's Alana, who works on the morning show couple. But see, the thing is, she's not from here. And so she doesn't, because the dynamics of different neighborhoods. So she moved into the Pearl. Ain't got no trick-or-treaters in the Pearl District. And so she bought like $70 worth of candy, just sat sadly on the couch all night, just... I wish I was loved by the children, and just no one ever came by. And there was not one trick-or-treater came to my place, too. And I know that Halloween was Tuesday, and today's Friday, and we're talking about it, but you just have to bear with us. It's been a busy week. So I had nothing. No one came by.
It sucks because I was trying to get ready to go out, and they kept knocking on the door, and I didn't want them to know I was home because I didn't have anything to give them. Mm-hmm. But in order for me to get out of my bedroom and cross to, like, go anywhere else, there's a long hallway.
Secret tunnel.
No, and you can see because my front door has glass on it, so you can see down the hallway. So I was trapped in my room for a while.
Trapped in my room by a gang of children. How did you eventually get? Did you just wait for a break in the action?
No, Muppet was going crazy.
That's what happened to the dogs.
Yeah, he was just like the loudest thing I've ever seen. They finally went away. And I would just run into the bathroom really quick and get ready, then dart back into my room.
Yeah, my dog isn't fazed by fireworks, but man, on Halloween when people, just when anybody, pizza guy, whoever, just knocks at the, Jehovah's Witnesses knocks at the door, he just goes bonkers. So, yeah, I didn't have anybody, and it makes me feel better about the fact that I didn't really get a chance to decorate my house this Halloween. I did not, I'm all, but man, this weekend, Christmas decorations are going up at my house. This, I'm skipping Thanksgiving because it's a stupid holiday. I'm skipping right to December, mentally speaking. So you see my house by Monday, man, it's going to be festooned with holiday ornaments. So, which will all be stolen by the neighborhood children. Good times. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, all you hungry people, here come 170,000 pounds of peas. Oregon farmers, known for their generosity, are giving 170,000 pounds of peas, all Oregon grown. They're going to be delivered to the Oregon Food Bank. Oh, they're already there.
Is this for like a homeless eating contest? Not where you eat the homeless.
It's part of Farmers Ending Hunger. This is a group of Oregon farmers donating to the charity. And it says here, and these peas today are one of those things that Oregon Food Bank and other agencies need to make sure that our children have adequate meals. This is from Mayor Potter, so he wants to make sure all Portland kids have peas on their plate.
So the solution is just to fill our children full of peas?
Everyone sit there and eat. Nobody can leave the table unless they finish all their peas.
Any child doesn't finish his plate spends a night in the box. All right, there you go. Well, have fun with your peas. Aren't peas one of those things that if you eat too many, it'll do something horrible to your insides?
I don't think so. Not a pea.
I don't know. Are peas one of those foods that you can't really digest?
Nobody likes peas.
Carrots.
Is it carrots? Well, that's you.
Peas are good in pea soup. I'm the only one who knows that.
My cat's breath smells like cat food.
I like snap peas.
Everybody likes snap peas.
Oh, they're so good.
I don't care for snap peas.
I buy them by the bag full. I can eat the whole bag for
a
snack.
See, why can't I be like that? Why can't I say entering 16-year-old girl mode again? Sarah, why can't I be like you? You are a person who legitimately, and Tim as well, likes vegetables. I just don't. I don't know what it is, man. The list of vegetables that
you gotta die young and alone.
Well, okay. I was just going to say that I didn't really care for corn.
But corn really has no nutritional value.
It doesn't matter.
Corn
now.
Is corn.
No, it's apparently my days are numbered.
And Rick and just has corn with popcorn.
Mm-hmm. Or Pop-Tarts.
And gets the dairy from pizza.
Just move on.
That's good enough.
Just move on and do some other news. I'm sitting here contemplating my early death.
Let's do a clergy watch, shall we?
Here's your clergy watch for Friday on the Rick Emerson Radio program.
So the president of the National Association of Evangelicals has quit after accusations by a male prostitute that he paid him to have sex in over 3 years and bought methamphetamine from him. So this story is vast and endless. This is the Reverend Ted Haggart. He has temporarily stepped down from this church in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm looking at him right here on the screen. He looks like he's got a bad weave, by the way, or like a bad rug of some kind right here. Is this the audio?
This is the audio. By the way, he's a gay-bashing preacher.
That's hard to believe.
And he's made numerous speeches about him, and if you go to my website, you will see the speech that we're about to hear.
Now, should I play this?
You can play that,
okay,
yes.
So there's my computer up here.
Yep.
All right, so this is, what is his name?
His name is... The pastor, Ted Haggart.
All right, and this is him speaking about the gays.
The gays.
We've decided the Bible is the Word of God. We don't have to have a general assembly about what we believe. It's written in the Bible. All right? So we don't have to debate about what we should think about homosexual activity. It's written in the Bible. I think I know what you did last night.
Oh, good God. That's creepy.
Isn't he creepy?
Okay, yeah. But you can't really... Okay, look, everybody now, you have to go to Tim's website because I can't convey the creepiness of this. Because that when he says this...
He's kind of a younger Charlie Daniels without facial hair. Basically, he's the pasty white guy, which comes with a gene pool.
I have to say, though...
anyone who's not heterosexual.
And a bad suit, but here's the thing... This, when he says, I think I know what you did last night, he does this creepy thing where he gets right up in the camera, Hulk Hogan style.
Mm-hmm.
He looks at the camera and he points a long, withered finger at the camera, and then he says, I think I know what you did last night.
I think I know what you did last night. If you send me $1,000, I won't tell your wife.
I don't understand. Apparently, he talks
to his followers.
He talks to President Bush, this says. He talks to President Bush and his advisors every Monday.
Yeah, he does.
Presumably about hot oil rubdowns of some kind.
Well, this is about... He's running around trying to get gay marriage banned in every state. Because it is on the ballot in Colorado this time around. So, this story is vast and endless. First, there's been a sudden about-face in the scandal facing this pastor.
He chooses to be toward the wall.
Apparently, he's admitting to some indiscretions.
Really?
But not necessarily giving them out in detail. Then we find out, moments ago, that he bought methamphetamine and received a message from the gay prostitute who claims he paid him to do this.
You know, here's the real irony of these stories, is whenever there's a story like this, it takes me just a little bit closer to believing in God. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, these stories warm the cockles of my heart, and they really do believe, and they really believe that there might be some sort of higher power that is bringing these fantastic stories our way. He doesn't really look like he's on methamphetamine, although he does have a weird sort of crazed...
Well, that might be before he went to buy it.
He has sort of a, I'm really excited, kind of a crazed, big, bug-eyed look on his face.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, let's see here. So now we go to the sound bites in Bank A. Let's see here. Ron Parsley has since stepped down. And, Ron Parsley has since stepped in to fill the vacancy after this guy quit. Parsley tells Colorado Springs 11 News the matter will be investigated by a church panel.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my fault. I got to make sure I can close the YouTube frame.
I don't have any accurate information about the precise details. I just know that there has been some admission of indiscretion, not admission to all of the material that has been discussed, but there is an admission of some guilt.
That's fantastic.
This follower says she doesn't believe the accusations.
Of course not.
I never for once, when I heard the news this morning, thought that they were true.
No, of course not. It's inconceivable that a man who is obsessed with homosexuality and others would be secretly engaging in it himself while preaching that those who follow that path are going to be doomed to an eternity in hellfire. I can't possibly imagine any precedent for such hypocrisy.
James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family, says he sends the embattled pastor his support.
Of course he does.
Let's see here. So, there's so much on this because the story keeps changing. Apparently, he's also the president of this National Association of Evangelicals.
Does it say? So this is
he made the list of the top 25 most influential people.
So what is it? The thing? So he was for 3 years he was buying meth. And then stripping some male hooker?
Yes.
Or whatever?
That is the allegation.
Is it the same male hooker?
Yes, it is.
So it's sort of monogamy after a fashion.
Well, it's sex and methamphetamine.
Of course.
Well, it's kind of a package deal.
Well, I mean, you say you can't have one without the other. I mean, really. I mean, what's a big bag of crank without a guy to come in the, you know, when at you your banana while you're at it?
Haggard says, I've never had a gay relationship with anybody, and I'm steady with my wife. I'm so faithful to my wife.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's probably election year politics or whatever.
Of course. And then I'm sure that's what it is.
And then there are some alleged voicemail messages.
Oh, please let it be true.
And I have some of those on my website as well, so you can go back and listen to those.
Should I be going to your website here?
You could.
Now, what are these voicemail messages?
Apparently, these are calls to the male prostitute.
I'm coming over. Do you have a big pile of blow for me?
And they're on the 9 News site in Colorado.
All right. Let's see. I'm looking here. Gay prostitutes.
All right. Look above that. Let's see there.
Yes, sir. A voicemail expert, is that this year?
That could be that story. Right, I think those are on there.
Let's see.
Probably very busy.
Strangely enough, everybody seems to be at this site. I did read somewhere that he was paying this hooker $300 a pop, by the way.
That's not bad for Colorado.
No, it's very, very, very reasonable. I don't have the...
You look in the left-hand column there,
right,
you might
see.
A
man claims 3-year sexual relationship. Oh, wait, here we go. Listen to the second voicemail. Let's see if this will play here. This is the second voicemail apparently left by this gay-baiting preacher. And this is for the hooker, the male hooker that he was with for 3 years?
Yes.
Fantastic. All right, this is, let's see, it's buffering here. And we're about two-thirds of the way.
This is the Reverend Ted Haggard. Temporarily stepping aside.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the thing is, and I
need a new windshield. Choose Elite Auto Glass, number one.
That's one of the phone messages.
Boy, no. Let me just say this, but let me just say this.
I love live radio.
No,
you won't hear this on these stations playing liners over and over again.
Here's the great thing. Here's the great thing about this. Now, this really is live radio because, again, as Tim said, this is a breaking story. This is a story that is changing about every 20 minutes because apparently. And I'll get to the actual observation I'm going to make here in a second. But this
apparently
is
brought to you by Elite Auto Glass.
Which I'm sure they love, by the way. That's what I was going to say. The great thing about the story is, the reason it's changing so fast is because this guy was a big player. He was a heavy hitter. As it said, he apparently talked to George Bush and I'm not making this up. This is apparently a fact. He spoke to George Bush and his advisors every Monday morning. I guess while being groped in some lascivious fashion by some guy named Sven, wrapped only in a Turkish towel.
And the worst part about this, he could have done better because his prostitute was 49 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you gotta go where the drugs are, I guess. That's the worst part too. Is the guy, you know, it's like with I would say it's like Jim Baker and Jessica Hahn, man.
He's so
like,
at least his taste runs to older men, unlike Mark Foley.
Somewhere in the middle of it, if they could just get an average of the two, if you could merge the small boys with the male prostitute, you get one perfectly acceptable male mistress. Here's the thing, though. So we're looking at this as directly from 9news.com, and they are doing exactly what television stations are all doing now to try to just milk some money out of the internet. Every time, and I think this happens actually on the CBS radio streams too. Like if you go to listen to KUFO, we are not streamed online for reasons that escape me. But if you like KUFO or Couple or something, if you go to listen to the CBS radio stations online, there's like a little 10-second ad you hear beforehand. And the really unnerving thing about that, if you're an advertiser, you just never know what kind of content your ad is going to play directly before. For example, when we're talking about a priest who apparently is buying methamphetamine and having gay sex with a prostitute.
Need a new windshield? Choose Elite Auto Glass. Number one for more than one reason. Safety. NGA certified installers and the best adhesives. Quality.
Always the best adhesives.
Quality glass. And the best price every day. Elite Auto Glass, a Colorado company with 16 front range locations.
Yeah.
I want my auto glass.
Hey, I am here at Denver, and sorry that I missed you. But as I said, if you want to go ahead and get some stuff, then that would be great. And then I'll get it sometime next week or the week after or whatever. I will call you, though, early next week to see what's most convenient for you. Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
He's such a courteous drug buyer. He sounds so professional.
He's Mike Jones, and he's 49, as you can see. Here's a picture of him right there.
Well, he looks like he's in shape, though.
Yeah, well, methamphetamine does that for you.
He does seem svelte. The best part is that he says, if you want to go ahead and get the stuff, that would be great. Oh, God, all right. Well, so there you go.
Need a new windshield? Choose Elite
Once
Auto
again.
Glass. Number one for more than one reason. Safety. NGA certified installers and the best adhesives. Quality. Always OEM quality glass. And the best price every day. Elite Auto Glass, a Colorado company with 16 front range locations.
By the way, if you decide to, and I know, and this is, I know we do have listeners in Colorado, by the way, who listen via the net. No, I don't know how anything about that or how they would listen. Apparently there's some sort of podcast or something that exists out there. I wouldn't know. All I'm saying is we do have a few listeners in Colorado. So if you decide that you need an auto glass, you need something in your car repaired, please to tell them that you did hear the advertisement via 9news.com and that you were there merely browsing for stories about gay sex with prostitutes and methamphetamine when you heard all about.
Need a new windshield? Choose Elite Auto Glass. Number one for more than one reason. Safety. NGA certified installers and the best adhesives. Quality. Always OEM quality glass. And the best price every day. Elite Auto Glass, a Colorado company with 16 front range locations.
We do try to encourage patronizing the new media here, so let them know that if it were not for their sponsorship of the story about gay sex with prostitutes and methamphetamine, that you would never have heard about Elite Auto Glass. Thank you.
Well, that should do it for the Clergy Watch for now.
Let's do the Clergy Watch, and we'll break, and we'll be back with the CNA radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. We are about 2 hours and 35 minutes away from Tom Likas live in downtown Portland at Barracuda, which is 9 Northwest 2nd. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. And so forth. Rick, I want to send photos to my pals that cannot make it to Likas tonight and really rub it in. Can we bring cameras? I think absolutely. I think so. I mean, yeah.
I remember there were a lot of cameras last time I was there.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I think absolutely you can. And here's the thing is, the last time we were there, I just remember at Barracuda, a couple of years ago, I remember at one point... because there was like some girls on stage, or he was signing a girl or something. But I remember looking out into the audience, and it was like a forest of cell phones. And you just look at it, it was the whole, I don't know, there must have been like 300 people just pressed up against the stage. And it's like every hand had, it was that universal, image that we've all come to know. Of just a hand extended with the cell phone, just capturing, you know, whatever it is on stage. When we went to see Poison and Kiss, it was exactly the same thing. You just looked at it at key moments, and every hand was raised, and every hand contained a cell phone. So there he goes. 503-733-2970. Just a short while, we'll talk to our good friend, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. He's going to join us here in just a few. We'll take a moment here and talk. Oh, is that... Okay, well, we should probably take Ed here before we do anything further. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here the Rick Emerson radio program. Let us now welcome from the South our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Rick. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. Now, are you in Atlanta right now?
I am.
All right. Now, this... We were just talking about this story, about the Reverend Ted Haggard, and this is a one of the stories that about every 5 minutes is changing now. It's just
I noticed. I just saw the latest on that.
And so this is just a recap, if anybody missed this. He is a prominent evangelical leader, and a guy who apparently, according to what I've read, called George Bush and his advisors every Monday morning to talk to them. And now he's apparently stepped aside because there's a whole lot of sex with a gay male prostitute and purchase of methamphetamine. That's the latest. Now, is that still accurate?
Well, he's saying now that he just contacted him and he had a massage, but he bought methamphetamine but didn't use the meth.
So he bought the methamphetamine just to sort of, what, just for show? Just as like a decoration at his home, or?
I don't know. First of all, he said he never knew the guy, so as you say, it's changing every 5 minutes.
So he went from never knew him to, ooh, and then we had nude massages together. And then he's gone from denying it to buying meth, but then not using the meth. So the question is,
yeah,
if I check back with you in like half an hour, I mean, will he have been responsible for like the disappearance of Jimmy Hoffa or something?
we still never solved that one. Let's use him as a suspect.
Seriously, I think that ought to be the thing. That's a great idea, Ed McCarthy, is from now on, anytime anybody is arrested for anything, I think we should immediately, the first act we should do is to try to pin Jimmy Hoffa's disappearance on them. Just to throw them a little bit, you know what I mean? Just to kind of keep them on their toes. You know, like you find
always a good.
Yeah, you find a guy.
I was out there for the World Series and never found him.
You find a guy burgling a Tasty Freeze somewhere. You know, are you there? You are wanted on suspicion of burglaring the Tasty Freeze and also of killing and burying the decomposing body of Jimmy Hoffa.
Jimmy Hoffa will be the addendum. We'll add that on.
That's the thing. Because, A, it keeps the rest of us amused. B, who knows when you're going to find the guy who actually did it. And C, that's going to unnerve a guy enough that he would probably cop to the burgling of the Tasty Freeze just to get out from underneath the Hoffa charge.
It's still his guts.
I didn't
kill Hoffa, but I did this.
That's what I'm saying. It's like in French, with the Queen's Gambit and the French Open. This will be the Hoffa Gambit. All right. So we have here, this is breaking news from, wait for it, CNN.com. Reverend Ted Haggard, who resigned as one of the nation's top evangelical leaders, admitted Friday he had contacted male prostitute Mike Jones for a massage and bought drugs from him. Haggard said he never had sex with Jones and never used the methamphetamine drug he bought. He had regularly participated in conference calls with White House aides. He told reporters earlier this week, is what you said, that he did not know Jones. Now he's saying he knew him and got massages and bought drugs from him and didn't use them. He said, I did call him. I called him to buy some meth, and then I threw it away. Because that's what you do when you buy drugs. You spend good money on drugs, you make sure that you throw them away and don't ever use them. Good God. Had you ever heard of this guy before?
You know, I don't. There's so many of these guys. They're all over the cable on television. You know, you ever flip around and they are.
Oh, yeah. So, no, not that I advocate that anyone in any way use intoxicants to alter their state of consciousness. But God forbid, if someone is sitting on the sofa and they're drunk or high and you're flipping around at like 1:30, 2, 3 a.m., I mean, if you get tired of watching the Home Shopping Network for an hour and a half or so, you watch some late night. Do you guys get the Trinity Broadcasting Network in Atlanta?
We get that and all kinds of these shows. And there's really more of the religious programming, it seems, half the time, and you know, and the shopping shows than anything else.
The Trinity Broadcasting Network is fantastic. I mean, if you want to spend a couple fantastic, great, entertaining
hours.
The
lady with the purple hair, is she still on?
That's what I'm talking about. There's this woman, and I don't know her name, but she's on. She's a preacher on the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and it looks for all the world like they have killed an otter and then just dyed it a bright purple and stapled it to the top of her head.
She kind of looks like an old Precious Moments doll, too. Her face is crazy looking.
It totally does. She kind of looks
like the one with the big hair. I've seen that one.
Yeah, she kind of looks like Lovey Howell from Gilligan's Island, like if she was sort of just splattered with blue for no readily apparent reason. And also, I do believe, but cannot say for sure, that the Trinity Broadcasting Network was the network on which MC Hammer had his own, he had his own broadcast for a while. It was like an hour-long Praise with Hammer kind of a thing, where he actually used the phrase, what did he used to say? It was some variation on You Can't Touch This. It was not You Can't Touch This, but it was like, You Can't Touch the Healing Power of Christ. It was fantastic. So, if you ever find yourself with time to kill Ed...
Don't forget Benny Hinn. He's on there too. You get him?
Oh yeah. Those guys are all great. So all right. Is this guy going to hold a press conference, or are you going to be tracking him down, or what's the latest for the Reverend Ted Haggard?
The Reverend Ted, as far as I'm concerned, he can stay out of the limelight for the weekend, and we'll see if he resurrects on Monday.
Fantastic. Has anybody else weighed on this? Have we heard from our friends, Mr. Falwell or Mr.
No. All very quiet, but of course, you know, the timing of this thing is interesting, because the one who turned him in says he did it because of the anti-gay marriage amendment in Colorado. So he said, well, his line was that if he was, kind of hiding, we're going to bring him out and, tell it like it is about what he is.
Fantastic.
So.
Well, I got to tell you this. I was talking to Lisa Goddard about this earlier, and every election cycle, I just get all aglow and all a tingle because stories like this come out about every 45 minutes. And I also have to say this. I'm 33, so I'm a Gen Xer, so I did grow up in what I do believe is the golden age of shamed evangelicals because I lived through Tammy Baker, Jim Baker, the fall of PTL, Jimmy Swaggart. I lived through every preacher running around convinced that Ozzy Osbourne records were filled with backward messages telling me to bite the heads off of goats. I mean, that was a time that I was afraid was gone forever, but I'm glad that it's back. So
it is back, indeed.
All right, my friend. Well, we will check with you later on. I don't know, probably next week, if there's any new news about this. In the meantime, go home and enjoy a beverage for all of us here on the Rick Emerson Show.
We'll try. I'm sure he'll go in for treatment like everybody else does, right?
Well, did you hear that? I know you got to go, but I did. Mark Foley, that was the best thing about Mark Foley, is he goes into rehab. Rehab is apparently, I said that for a while, rehab was just a place you went when you didn't want to have to answer the phone. But now, rehab is just a place where you drop your bags now, and then you go off to the mall. Rehab is now like one of those lockers at the airport where you used to stash your stuff for 50 cents. And then you'd get it when you came back from Tampa. Because Nicole Richie, who was in rehab for learning how to eat, I swear to God she was in rehab because she wouldn't eat. She was there for a day and a half, and then she checked out to go shopping. That was the news this morning. Mark Foley went into rehab for being a booze hound and for having a predilection for young boys. But then he was spotted like some rock and roll club in Texas. So rehab is now just a place where you kind of drop your stuff, and then you go off to, then you go off to Disneyland for a month. It's all very interesting.
We're all off to rehab.
All right, Ed McCarthy, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Rick, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, there you go. That's Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome Tim Riley back to the Rick Emerson studio in just a moment. It's 503-733-2970. Tom Likas this afternoon, live from Barracuda 3 to 7. We've got this subject line, Tom's Hot Girls. Rick, this email says, Tom on the air has been asking Portland 9 or 10s to send in pictures to get into party with Tom and his crew. I sent in my picture and information, and I just got a call saying I was in.
Awesome.
And then this is how great it is. She signs it. She signs it. Her name is Faith, and she signs it. Oh, yeah. Work it, Faith. Work it. There you go. So there you go. Congratulations.
Well, we'll see you backstage,
Faith. Hottest audience ever. All right, here's Tim Riley live from the Ministry of Truth.
Well, the federal government has shut down a website experts had provided a cookbook on how to build a nuclear bomb. The Bush administration started the site under pressure from congressional Republicans who hope to use the Internet to find new evidence of dangers posed by former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein before the U.S.-led invasion in 2003. In an interview on the Today Show, former White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card commented on the timing of the report before the midterm elections.
Most things that happen just before an election are designed by someone to have an impact on the election, but I actually think it's important that we recognize the government's doing the right thing. They shut the website down.
This is what? This is a website that told you how to do?
Build a nuclear bomb.
Oh, like everybody couldn't find that out anyway. Engineers across the hall, probably 80% of the people who work in this building in the IT department can tell you how to build a nuclear weapon, please.
Meanwhile, actor Ben Affleck is in Connecticut today
saying people should go out and vote.
Folks like Mr. Simmons, who have stood by an administration and followed through the George Bush-led Republican Congress, need to take accountability for a lack of competence, a lack of performance, and an overall inability to get done what they say they were going to get done.
And all you young kids, listen up. Ben Affleck says you youngsters should get out and vote, too.
That's Ben Affleck who said this.
I think college students should vote because they have the most at stake and the most to gain and the most to lose. But on average, they're going to spend more years than everyone else here dealing with the consequences of who gets elected and who doesn't.
I was trying so hard to find the Joe Lieberman sound to play right at the end of that. I left it in my other folder. I'll have to I'll find it. All right.
Meanwhile, from Florida comes word of this.
That's what I'm talking about, right there.
There was any angry commentary about Lindsay Lohan.
That's how I bring it. Is that a picture of her?
Yeah.
She looks hot there.
No, not up close.
Oh.
She's a huge bag. This is like the premiere of her movie, and she shows up looking like absolute crap. It sucked. I just wrote this huge tirade about how it's annoying, how she has all this potential and money.
Does it anger you when chicks who could look hot don't?
It totally angers me. She doesn't take it for granted. Instead, she couldn't stay in for one freaking night before the biggest premiere of her movie, and now she looks like crap, and those pictures are going
to
be
there.
You know
what you really ought to be? You really ought to be a handler. That's what you ought to be. You ought to be a minder. Would you agree, Tim?
Yes, like under where people.
Yeah, you ought to be like, what's her name? Shauna on Entourage.
Oh, that's
fine. Eric, if Vince can't keep his crap together, I'm going to come over there and beat him in the ass. Or whatever it is she says. That chick, whatever. What is her name? Debbie,
I love her, though. She was in Empire Records.
Debbie, I can't remember her last name now, but
she's with an M, doesn't it?
Yeah, but, and she's a, like, Mossberg or something. She's a good, no, that's a machine gun. But she's a good friend of Madonna's, and she was in Girl 6, and she was in...
She actually had a part in Singles, but it was cut out.
Really?
Yeah, she played, Scott Campbell's ex-girlfriend that he's talking about at the beginning.
Oh, when he's, like, when he's drinking the coffee and he's saying, Cliff, I'm talking here. Yeah. Anyway, but that's what you should totally be. You should be the Shauna, or whatever her name is, from Entourage. Cause I like the fact that it fills you with rage that Lindsay Lohan is, you know, it shows up
it's
at a premiere looking bedraggled.
She's a billionaire.
It is
upsetting. Appreciate it.
Well, now I got to see what she looks like up close. Can I? If I look at the photo, will it show me what she looks like up close?
Yeah, click on the photo. It gets bigger.
All right, hold on. See, right here, she looks good. From far away. if I squint.
She seems well put together.
And then click on it. She looks terrible.
Oh.
She's looking bad. Oh. It looks like her face is shifting into an ugly face.
It's sort of coming off. Some sort of fleshy mudslide.
Am I overreacting or does she look like crap?
Well, I don't think she looks like crap, but I don't think she looks...
She's
how old is she?
Crap.
20.
Yeah, she doesn't look 20. That's the thing about it. That's the thing about Lindsay Lohan.
Perhaps 30.
Yeah, she's got kind of a... The portrait of Dorian Lohan is kind of what's going on here. And it's not that she looks like if she was 30, 35 and looked this way, I'd be like, well, hey, work it, girl. You know, or whatever Faith would say. She does not look like a 20-year-old girl here. She does look, she's got big bags under her eyes. And here's
her eyes are, can you see how bloodshot they are?
Yeah, and here's the really terrifying thing about it is, I wonder if she is fully made up here. Because if that's what she looks like with the full coat of makeup on, God only knows what's lurking underneath her. You give her a good hosing. And I mean with a hose, with power.
Gently.
Gently and lovingly.
Dinner gently with your hose.
That's the best thing ever. Not unlike the blood off a Southeast Portland sidewalk. But if that's what she looks like fully made up, yeah, you give that a good scraping, we're talking Warthog. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, meanwhile, Brevard County Sheriff's deputies evacuated at least three homes briefly after an old satchel bag filled with dog feces was found near a school bus stop. Authorities believe the incident was a prank. It wound up being nothing. Maybe it was the kids just doing a Halloween prank or something like that.
Those darn kids.
Ted Cassero, the 39-year-old owner of the bag, came forward and claimed it after Sergeant Francis Hickman called the bomb squad. The bomb squad used a robot to open up the bag on live television, and the roads had to all be closed.
Apparently, her name is Debbie Mazar. She was also in So I Married an Axe Murderer and Madonna's music video. Also, she was in something else that skipped me. Anyway, she's hot. Hot is what she is.
She's beautiful.
She's completely hot.
I think she's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. All right. Here you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Shrimp on a treadmill. The latest hit from an Oregon professor's shrimp project. Apparently, this professor has been working on shrimp and causing some ripples on the internet. Two summers ago, Pacific University professor David Sholnick and colleague Lou Barnett set out on a lab experiment to study diseases using coastal shrimp at a marine lab. The shrimp are seen on a treadmill 24 hours a day.
I'm sorry?
This is shrimp on the treadmill.
Say it. Somebody say it. Come on!
You say it.
Shrimp on a treadmill.
I'm not even going to say it now. You know, here's why.
Are you going to do it with the accent?
No, because everybody is inserting it, doing it themselves in their head. I don't even need to say it now. Everybody has just done it themselves in their head. No, I wasn't going to say shrimp on a Barbie. I was going to say shrimp on an MFN treadmill.
Nobody was thinking that.
Everybody was thinking. Tim was thinking that.
Oh.
All right.
I was too polite to say so.
That's what I'm saying. All right. Is Tim Riley.
From Spanish Fork, Utah, comes news of a snake breeding business that upset some of the people here. Dan and Colette Sutherland plan to have 1,500 ball python snakes and their babies, along with mice and rats to feed them. They chose Spanish Fork, Utah, after planners said they have to reduce the number of snakes. Meanwhile, hip-hop artist Snoop the Dog is expected to turn himself in at Orange County. This is B.
Okay. I'm loading bank B as we speak.
California authorities over the weekend want him to answer dangerous weapon possession charges stemming from an incident at John Wayne Airport last summer. Deputy DA Andrew Masurian says Snoop, whose real name is Calvin Brodus, was on his way to film a music video in San Francisco when the item was seen through an X-ray machine.
The allegation is that Mr. Brodus entered the John Wayne Airport and had in his laptop computer bag a collapsible 20-inch metal baton. The item is classified as a dangerous and or deadly weapon.
That was a lot funnier. We were calling it a big black rod. That's less funny. But is that in fact the Mr. Creedy? That's that thing we were talking about, right? That thing that they beat. What's his name? Stephen Fry with in V for Vendetta. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, now should we even mention it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Jesus, sorry. Just asking a brother can't ask a question?
Come to the party and find out.
Come to the party. Find out. Stay a while. Stay forever. Coming up about 2 hours and 10 minutes from now, Tom Likas broadcasting live from Barracuda. Barracuda downtown, 9 Northwest 2nd. It's going to be a fantastic time. Rick, I think Debbie was Ray's wife in Goodfellas. No, but she was his mistress. You are totally right about that. You're almost right anyway. Debbie Mazar was Ray Liotta's... His wife was Lorraine Bracco, who is now Dr. Melfi on The Sopranos. Mm-hmm. Debbie Mazar was his mistress. She was also Chaz Palminteri's mistress in Bullets Over Broadway, if you saw that. Speaking of Woody Allen films. Woody Allen, who made Radio Days... which Tim Riley and I both weirdly watched last night.
That is so strange.
Completely. There was no play. And we didn't... It's not like we were in high school. We didn't get on the phone and decide to watch it on the phone together.
We very seldom call each other. No. I don't think we've exchanged 12 phone calls over the years.
Like the last 7 years. No. No, it's just one more layer of personal contact we try to eliminate between ourselves and the outside world. But anyway, so there you go. Yeah, the point is, she's hot. But she just had like triplets or twins or some crap, though. So it's... I mean, she's automatically less hot now, so, you know, but what are you going to do?
Walter Cronkite turns 90 tomorrow, and he's been retired longer than he ever worked. The renowned broadcaster's lost none of his lust for the news business. I would like to think I'm still quite capable of covering a story. After anchoring the CBS Evening News for nearly 2 decades...
I drank during the CBS Evening News?
After anchoring...
Oh, okay.
...the CBS Evening News for nearly 2 decades...
And
his voice can now be heard introducing Katie Couric each and every evening.
Been consuming Crown Royal all night
So naturally,
long.
He's shocked that he's lived this long. Meanwhile, I wasn't...
Did he say that? Was that part...
And in conclusion, I have to say I am astounded that I am... still alive.
He's on the, you gotta get that double disc set for Network, because they interview him on there.
Oh,
and it's not like an old, a vintage interview either. They interview Cronkite, as I like 7-8 months ago. I mean, and he's still, because you can tell sometimes when you interview an old guy who doesn't
He's always been old.
But I don't ever remember him being young. Well, he was born, 1916?
Right.
No, 1916. Mm-hmm. So, but you ever interview somebody who, you know, just getting kind of old or they're out of it or whatever, and you can tell when they're sort of faking it. You can tell when they're just trying to shine you, but you can tell that guy is still sharp as a freaking tack. They gotta put him back on, have him do the news again. I'd watch that.
Meanwhile, Russell Crowe gets sat down during 60 Minutes and is asked whether or not he has a temper.
You're copying to the argument that you have a temper.
Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely, man. I have a temper. My mom's got a temper. My brother's got a temper. You got to have one. You know what happens if you don't have one?
Everyone
has a temper. Walking down the street and you just pop. You're lying there dead on the pavement because you've been holding and suppressing all this bull. You know?
Good God. Do you think you have some sort of an... I mean, you have a problem with your anger. Do you have a problem with your anger?
No. No, I don't.
A New York City student who was kicked out of class on Halloween for dressing as Adolf Hitler, apparently wasn't fazed by his punishment.
I just have to interrupt for a second. No, you're exactly right, Scotty. I was doing the same thing. I was absolutely trying to do that, and it didn't work. Scotty's thinking exactly the same. Let's do this one.
Copying to the argument that you
this is the anatomy of a failed
absolutely,
behavior.
Man. I have a temper. My mom's got a temper. My brother's got a temper. You got to have one. You know what happens if you don't have one? One day you're walking down the street and you just pop. You're lying there dead on the pavement because you've been holding and suppressing all this bull. You know?
I mean, do you think you have some sort of an... you have a problem with your anger. Do you have a problem with your anger?
No. No, I don't.
The Jews.
See, that's what I was...
The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world. Are you a Jew?
That's what I was trying to
Did
do.
Did you see the Law and Order that they've previewed for this week or next week?
No.
They have Chevy Chase playing some angry, drunken guy who's saying Jewish slurs and
whatnot. From today's headlines.
And he says, what are you looking at, sugar? Beep.
Really?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
It's awesome. It's Chevy Chase, too.
Oh, good times.
I'm totally going to watch that.
Boy, Chevy Chase, you talk about a guy...
hated by millions.
Seriously. And, I mean, why? I think about that
he's
sometimes.
He's a jerk.
Why, Helen? Why do you do these
Can we
things?
Get through one day with you not doing that?
No. Here's when we'll get through it. People want me to quit saying, why, Helen? Why do you do these things? I'll stop it as soon as someone sends me the actual clip of Burgess Meredith saying that from the Twilight Zone episode Time Enough at Last, written and directed by Rod Serling. That's when I'll stop doing it. What is my point? My point is, why does everybody hate Chevy Chase? And I know that he's jerky, but everybody's jerky. I mean,
people are told to hate him.
I'm no prize. I'm not saying you're wrong to do so. Right. I'm just saying... It is another. This is a thing that
I thought he was
fascinates.
extra super jerky.
Well, as compared to who though? I mean, it's like
wasn't he all crazy at his Comedy Central roasting thing?
No, he just sat in the chair and looked dead. He just sat in the chair and looked as though he was decomposing.
That's what makes people hate him.
I guess I
want him to dance like a monkey.
I think he's too old for that.
I don't think that works anymore. I think his monkey dancing muscles have atrophied. Anywho, no, but that's part of that dynamic that fascinates me, and all of us here on the show, is that we get cultural unanimity behind something. Like, we all decided just to hate Tom Cruise one day. It was like somebody flipped a switch, bam, our Cruise hating is now activated, go. You know, and then suddenly we were all at Cruise Hate DEFCON 5. Just like we all picked Katie Holmes' side of that. Just like we're all on the side of what's her name? Jennifer Aniston as opposed to Brad Pitt. One day we all woke up and we all just decided to hate Chevy Chase. You
it
know?
Feels good.
No, it does. I find it fulfilling. Speaking of the roast, did you ever hear Stephen Colbert's segment of the Chevy Chase roast?
No.
It is... Let me see if I can find it. I think I might actually have it. Let me see if I can find it here. All right, this is... We'll play it on the other side. We'll play it when we come back at the top of the hour.
Clean.
And it's just, you know, it's got to queue up. And plus, we're running late. We got Roop at the top of the hour.
Oh, yeah.
I don't wish to take one of our CNN radio correspondents late.
No.
Can I tell you the...
I don't wish to anger Laura Caviezel, for whom we have all the respect in the world.
Laura didn't say goodbye to me today.
She just hung up.
Yeah.
Can I book Jim Rope? Yes. Wham! That's it. There you go. But I just... why, Laura? Why do you do these things?
God,
you must now dislike Laura Caviezel. Repeating? You must all dislike Laura Caviezel.
We should do an announcement every day about that. Today's person that you must now dislike, that everyone in the country must despise. Set phasers to loathe. All right. All right, hello, it's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. I'm going to come back after this. CNN Radio correspondent Jim Roop around the corner. We'll talk about the movies with Scott Daly coming up in this hour as well. We'll talk to Scotty J about his big plans for Tom Likas this afternoon. Stephen Colbert roast Chevy Chase. And we ask the magical question, why, Helen? Why do you do these things? The Rick Emerson Radio Show. Stay right there. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.